college, I had a problem much the same as my kids have as far as the school goes, is it came easy at first, and then as it developed more difficulty, I began to have difficulty, and then I figured it out, and many of you probably were there. And one of the things I would do is, if it was a subject or something that I had pretty much thought I'd figured out, I wouldn't study until one teacher broke me of this habit. He would pray before we would take, you want the microphone on? I said, never would we do the microphone thing again. That took me one service. But anyway, back to me not paying attention to school. The teacher opened up in prayer one time before we took the test, and he prayed this prayer. He didn't pray that we would do well. He didn't pray that he would bless our country. He said, Lord, please bless them in the same way that they have studied. And that stopped me. Because if God was only going to bless me for as much effort as I put into it, that could mean different things. And not only that, but I couldn't even guess my way through this thing. Now, I was a decent student, by the way. But I couldn't even guess my way through this because now he's asking God to punish me if I don't know the answer. And of course, you'd sit there, you think, well, what you needed to do, brothers, you needed to prepare. And prayer revealed my preparedness. And I tell you what, there are many days you go through and you realize, I should have prayed today. And I tell you what, we ought to say that to ourselves every day. If you're of the mind to have your phone on you and you can put an alarm on your phone, you ought to set that about 10:30 every day. And if you could put a message in there, have someone help you figure it out if you need to, a little message in there, you should have prayed today. So that way, if you prayed, you say, amen, I did, leave me alone. Or you can sit there and say, oh. Because I tell you what, there are seven reasons that I can think of for us to need to pray every day. Number one, you might need God's mercy today. You may need God to reach down and grab a hold of a situation in your life. And I'll tell you what, life is hard. We talked about that enough this morning, that some of us, we struggle with things, and there are fights, and there are battles, and we're not just talking about things going on in the world around us. With everything going on with the Tituses, you're just kind of waiting for news. And I tell you what, we may need some mercy come here a little bit. There's a lot of people that we've been praying for, and we're praying God give mercy to their situation. Why? Because life is hard. And sometimes we need God to swoop in and help us out. There were those in times of the Bible where they would pray, and they would pray, I think in particular, of Jairus' daughter. As he came to the Lord and he begged Jesus to do something about it. You know what, we may not always have something as big and scary as life and death, but I tell you what, tomorrow there will be some kind of thing you need mercy from. You need to stop and pray for it before it gets here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, life, like I said, can be difficult. We have needs. And sometimes we know what those needs are. You know, tomorrow I can sit there and say, this is my list of things to do. And I've got to do this and I've got to do that, right? I got to be here early to take care of the water test. And then I've got to go over and take care of that. And these are the things that I need to study. And we've got this coming up in the week. I'll come up with my whole to-do list, right? And something could happen tomorrow, throw the whole thing up in the air. I'm going to need God for. And even not, I'm going to need God to help get me through the things that are already there. And you know what? I need to have that comfort to come boldly before the throne and say, Lord, please grant me mercy. Even for the things I don't know are happening. Even for the things I have yet to see, Lord, give me mercy. Help me in this trial. Help me in this thing that's coming. Part of that prayer for mercy is the acknowledgement that if I'm too far away from God, there is very little that can be done. There was a Christian comedian. He told a story about taking his grandkids to the beach. And something that bothered him was he had gained so much weight in his profession of just kind of traveling around, eating junk food, telling jokes in churches. He'd gained so much weight, he realized, and he was looking over at his grandchild who was in the water, and he was on the beach. He goes, you know what? Something could happen to him right now. And I would not be able to get there in time. Again, just looking at his own physical ability to move.
And we think the same. Sometimes we move so far away from God that we, but if we were to call to Him, right, or even think to call to Him, would be so far removed from us because we've stuck ourselves in doing our own thing and thinking our own way and taking care of our own selves. Instead of being able to turn over to the Lord and say, I need your help, because we've walked so far away from Him. We would first have to repent of our sins, go back to what we're supposed to be doing so we could cross this distance to even be able to understand or comprehend what God wants. Honestly, answer me this. If your prayer life isn't right and your Bible study isn't right, how are your reactions to things around you? Good? Now, we all think we've got this covered. It's just standard stuff. It's just regular stuff. I don't need to ask God for every little thing. I don't need mercy in every little situation. I'm tough. I can handle it. You need to be close to God when the bad things happen. Because you'll be surprised at what it takes to flip you over, right? Right, Charlie? You'll be surprised at what can knock you over. I was over at the Eckleberry's house. That guy got right up, just, poof, threw me up, signed him up for football. You don't know what could take you down. You need to be close to the Lord. And again, that shouldn't be a selfishness in our closeness to the Lord. I'm close to the Lord so I can get something. You're not a dog looking for crumbs off the table. That is your God. That is your Savior you're walking next to. We ought to be able to reach out for that mercy anytime we need it. I love walking with little Gideon, but it breaks my heart because I know eventually he's going to go the way the other two Muppets that I have went. Now they need me to. Is he still over there? Is he still back? No, he moved. Okay. I'll walk with him, and every now and then he's at that right age where he still trips. And if he trips, Daddy's got him. And he just kind of dangles there for a second until I bring him back down. Now, eventually he's going to get big like the other two, and they're not going to want to do that anymore. That breaks my heart a little bit. Right? Because you always want to be there to stop you from skinning your knees. I always want to be there for you to do that. And that's what God wants with us. He wants to give the mercy. He wants us to be there. But again, if we're out playing in traffic, that's on us. That's on us. We're not where we're supposed to be. We're not doing what we want to be. Well, we're not doing what we ought to be. We're doing what we want to be. And instead, now we're getting in trouble and we're too far away. How about this for a thought? You need to pray today because you might sin today. How about that? Now, when I say that we ought to pray over our sin, about our sin, I'm talking about confessing our sin. Now, don't do the cute thing. You know what the cute thing is, right? It's the cute thing that we pray in public. And please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, when I'm in public, that's one thing. I'm not going to sit there and enumerate all my sins at the dinner table. But later on, when it's me and the Lord, you need to tell Him what? Don't we do that with our kids? Haven't you done that with your kids? We'll get this answer, this genius answer. And it is genius. I'm not picking on it. What happened? I didn't do the right thing. That is the most lawyer answer I ever heard. What'd you do? I didn't do the right thing. What did you do? The bad thing. Will you just tell me what you did? I did something wrong. You kind of sit there and you feel like it's an episode of Dragnet where you're sitting there and you're interrogating a hostile suspect or something like that, and they're working you over. But all the same, you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, today I lost my temper and I said this and that. Today, Lord, for a second, I entertained a thought I should not have entertained. Today, Lord, I know that you and I have talked a lot about this sin, but today I gave in to it again. Be specific. Be honest. Right? Your God is not the old-fashioned school teacher that's looking for a reason to paddle you. Now, again, He will. He will. But all the same, we shouldn't go to Him afraid, because at one, he was there and He saw it. Wouldn't that be so silly? With all of our knowledge of what God knows, God's omniscient. He knows everything. He sees everything. If you're saved, He dwells in you. He was there. Who are you trying to hide it from? I think of Adam and Eve in the garden for this one, right? Right? What's going on here? Oh, and they're stuttering, they're stammering, and they put the fig leaves on, and they're like, well, we were naked. Well, who told you were naked? And they acted as though they had no idea. God saw the whole thing, right? And again, I kind of see that. Maybe it's because I'm a parent now. I kind of see that relationship where I'm asking questions I already know the answer to. You do that as a parent, I'm sure. You do that as an employer, somebody who had people who worked underneath you. You sit there, you ask questions, and you know the answer. You just want to see if they'll tell you. Or you're trying to show them something, right? Well, what'd you do? I did this. Well, you see how that worked? Yeah, I saw how that didn't work. Okay, good. This is what you're going to do instead. Right? Go to the Lord. Just be honest with them. Don't hide it. Right? You're not going to be able to save face. You're not going to be able to lawyer your way out of it. All right, here's what happened. You sinned. Here's the remedy. You confess that sin. You repent of that sin. And you ask God for strength not to do that sin anymore. And you put a plan together to make sure that don't happen again. That's the solution. Anything else overcomplicates the maneuver. It does. Wouldn't it be so much easier if we could have those kind of conversations? Lord, this is what I did. Instead of our justifications and our hiding and our own diving into the bushes and sewing the fig leaves together to try to make ourselves look better than what we are. No, you sinned. And what I need to do is answer to you for that, Father. And this is what I did, and I'm sorry. How can you ask God to strengthen you for something you refuse to come right out and tell him about? And you think how easy of a habit that is, and forgive me of my sins. No, take ownership of it. I can't grow if I'm not willing to discuss it. One of the things we've been doing recently in our family devotions is we're kind of taking apart certain things that aren't working right, but we're looking at it in an area where no one's in trouble, and that's wonderful. Right? You ever have to answer for something when you're in trouble? How does that go? Right? Think about the last time you were at work and you were given a progress report or something like that, and they're talking to you about how you did. Right? If you're in trouble for something, that's hard to talk about. We'll talk about certain things when no one's in trouble for it. And that's part of the training that we're doing in the house. If we can talk about sin outside of the realm of you did bad and this is why, when their heads are clear and their noses aren't runny, right? If we can have the conversation then, it makes the conversation later a whole lot easier and a whole lot faster. Why? Because we've already visited this topic and we can get through it. How can I, as a mature Christian or as an older Christian, sit there and expect any kind of change in my life if I am unwilling to talk to God about it when I'm in trouble and when I'm outside of the trouble? Think of a sin you have not committed 5, 10, 15 years. I don't care. Pick one. One you haven't had. When was the last time you prayed that the Lord would keep that out of your life? You need to have that conversation. And not just asking for the sins that you've committed, but for the sins that are sitting there lurking out there. And we'll talk about temptation a little bit later. But you need to pray to God concerning your sin today. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I love the dual parts of that verse. Number one, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then what? To cleanse us. To get that out of there, to fix it, right? He doesn't just diagnose and he doesn't just forgive, but he helps us get our lives free of that problem. I think specifically of the thief on the cross for this one. As he sat on the cross and he looked over at Jesus and he begged for forgiveness and the Lord forgave him. Now, he had no right to forgive him. And as a matter of fact, one would justify Jesus Christ for not answering him at all because Jesus was just a little busy on that cross. There's not a single person here that would have faulted him for not reaching over and talking to that thief that hung next to him. That thief probably deserved to be there. That thief, for all of his sins and all of his crimes, we don't know what he got into. But I tell you what, not a one person would have batted their eye if Jesus refused to talk to him. But he did. And he forgave him right then and there. And I tell you what, we are all our own thieves and our own crosses, and Jesus Christ forgave each and every one of us. We do not need to stay in those trials. We don't need to stay in those problems just because we're afraid to talk to God concerning our sin. Number three reason why you should have prayed today was you're going to have needs. Things are going to come up today. Matthew 6:11, in the model prayer that Jesus gives us, when he teaches us how to pray, and he gives us the format for prayer. Now, again, when he prayed this prayer in Matthew 6, it was not, pray these exact words every time. That's not what he meant. It was giving a model. Hey, when you pray, pray like this. Not pray these exact words. Not to step on any toes, and I hope I'm not stepping on any toes. I think you folks kind of know better. But those books where you just recite certain prayers. I saw one in an advertisement one time. Pray this prayer to have your children be saved. And pray this prayer and God will keep thieves out of your house. And pray this prayer. It's almost like a talisman or a good luck charm that I'll just hang up on my wall. Or I'll repeat out loud and God will keep the booger man from coming into my door. That's not how prayer works. Prayer is not magic. Prayer is talking to God, and that's where the power is. Again, I've talked about this. It drives me nuts when people say, well, there's power in prayer. Yeah, there's power in talking to God, and that power is God himself. That's where the power is in that conversation. So repeating things. And again, we're told to avoid vain repetitions in our prayers. But Matthew 6:11, getting back on point, give us this day our daily bread. You can ask God to make sure there's food on your table. Oh, brother, you don't understand. I've got a great portfolio. I've got an amazing savings account. We've got credit cards. We've got everything we can possibly need to buy the food. I don't need to pray for it. That can change like that, can it? You've seen that. I'll go like just like that. Right? You can build everything just fine, find it all gone the next day. You need to pray on a continual basis. Right? It is the random happenstance of this world is the fact that we live in a cursed earth, that one could be doing very well and things could be going very much against us. Now, of course, we let that in God's hands. It's all a part of God's will. But Jesus says it's okay for us to go to God and say, please make sure we've got enough to eat today. Please make sure that I can make it to my job today. A lot of people in the last couple of years lost their jobs due to cutbacks and you know, different things like that, layoffs that we've got. A lot of people are sitting there, they're kind of in limbo. We don't know when that's going to happen. Continue to pray that tomorrow when you go to clock in, for those that clock in, that you'll be able to. Right? It always kind of drives me nuts when people sit there and they say, well, I hate my job this and I hate my job that and I can't believe I've got to go in. You know what? There are a lot of people in third world countries that would be loving to make half the money you make right now. Right? And they'd be willing to do all sorts of stuff to get that money. Why? Because they're hungry, they're starving, they're thirsty, they don't have access to clean water. We need to be grateful. And we need to pray that the Lord continue to bless us with that ability. Now, of course, for those of you that are retired, hey, you made it. But continue to pray that things work out well in that aspect. Again, from where I've been, I've seen a lot of people in a comfortable retirement go to a bad retirement real fast. Right? They make simple mistakes, they make complicated mistakes, or things just work against them. They get sick and they have to blow a lot of their savings, borrow from stuff just to afford treatment. We need to pray for the daily needs of our lives, that roof, shelter, water that we need, food, all of that. Go to the Lord because you're going to have needs today. You're going to get hungry. You're going to get thirsty. You're going to get cold. You're going to get hot. And you're going to need those needs to be met. Go to the Lord. If anything, it acknowledges one to him that you're relying on to him. And it acknowledges to you how fragile things can be. Number four reason why you should have prayed today, you are going to need to get things done. Now, I love this story. There was a preacher and a deacon. They were working on a tire for a church van. There it is again. But they were working on a church van, and they're trying to get the tire off of the thing. And for whatever reason, they could not get the lug nut off. And they're fighting with it, and they're fighting with it, and they're fighting with it. And finally, the deacon gets tired. Now, it depends on who you're talking to, depends on what happened. From the pastor's perspective, he says that the deacon sat down, and he said, you know, Pastor, it's getting a little tired. You know what we forgot to do? We forgot to pray. And they stop, and they prayed. And after a little while, one of the other members comes up to see what they're doing. He's got a little torch, and he blasts the lug nut, does all the things you do. One of my father-in-law's favorite sayings, it can't stick if it's liquid. And just heats it up, and they get it off, and had it off within 5 minutes. Praise the Lord, everything was going good. Now, if you listen to the deacon's point of view, he was tired, and he wanted a break, but he didn't want to look weak in front of the pastor. So he suggested they take a break and pray. Now, whatever you want to believe, I firmly believe that if you're going to get yourself into a pickle in a day, and many of us, we're going to get into a pickle tomorrow, you should pray. If you've got anything on the to-do list, you need to pray that God give you the strength and the wisdom to do so. Right? I have often found that if I've lost the track of what it is I'm supposed to be doing, if I've gone too far down a rabbit hole in my studies, if I've gotten up and I really need to get back to what I was finishing to do, most of the time I'm making those mistakes and I'm not being thorough the way I should because I did not bathe that action in prayer first. And that's very important for us. Right? Even something as simple as changing the brakes on your car, what a time to pray. There would be times I'd be going into work, and I'd get arrogant. It's just a Tuesday. It's not as bad as a Monday. I don't need to spend the time talking to God about my Tuesdays. But no, talk to the Lord. Let's not be silly and sit there and try to quantify our need. We don't know what's going to happen, right? Spend that time, ask God's blessing and strength and wisdom for the things you need to do. Right? Because I can promise you this, Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Go to the Lord. Nothing much is going to happen. Doesn't matter how strong your body is today. You're going to need strength tomorrow to get the things done. You're going to need clarity of mind. You're going to need focus. You're going to need a clear conscience. You need to go to the Lord every morning before you clock into work. You need to go to the Lord every morning before you set about your household and yard chores. You need to go to the Lord first before you do anything. And it doesn't hurt to stop and go back to it a few times. I found myself on a few occasions where I would pray and just ask the Lord to bless the day. I'd be sitting there at my desk at work and just pray the Lord bless the day. And I'd get a phone call, one of those phone calls I told you about this morning. Hey, we haven't heard from Grandma in a very long time. Can you go knock on the door? Okay, fine. I'll go knock on the door. And you go over and you knock on the door and you knock on the door and you look at the windows and you stop and you realize this is going to be a good time for me to pray that she opens this door. Now, that's not being silly. There are going to be things where you need to stop. You say, Lord, you're still with me, right? And now again, he doesn't go anywhere. That's mostly a facetious thing for me to say. But we need to be able to go to the Lord for the bigger things, but make sure you go to him first before anything we do. Right? You will have needs. Also, the thing that you think is going to happen might not happen. Why might it not happen? Because God's having you wait for him. Right? You don't jump ahead of me. You forgot me in this situation. You need to ask me. You need to approach me. Or there may be something wrong with you. Or it might not be time for this thing to happen yet. Matthew 17:21, howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. There's going to be some things in your life you can't do without prayer. There's going to be some things that just will not budge unless you first submit yourself to God. And I found that to happen. You know, there are things where I'm expecting. I have expectations. I have desires. I have wants. I say, Lord, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do this thing. But in my waiting, or in my excitement, I've lost that closeness with him. Prayer brings me back to him so I can accomplish the things that need to be accomplished. Here's another one, number five. Number five reason why you're going to want to pray today, or why you should have prayed today, you are going to run into some temptation. Temptation's out there, isn't it? And I tell you what, I've often told you this, my struggle with this. If I'm going to get into a car, I'm going to run into some temptation. I'm going to. Now, it's not as bad as it was when I was down in Detroit and Southgate and all that. It's a lot better out here. The most frustrating thing are the tractors, and I really don't even mind them because it gives you something to look at. But you're going to be running by, and all those sins that you struggle with, everyone else is struggling with them too, except they don't care. So they can live those lives outwardly, and they can be temptations, and they can have temptations laying around. And the things that you think you kicked will come back. It always marveled me, Christians who've been in the service of the Lord for the longest time, they've laid aside their habits, will still talk about 50, 60 years later being tempted to do something they ain't touched in decades. Why? Because that's just the way the body is. Right? The flesh never forgets. It wants that again. Right? So you're going to run into some kind of temptation today. If you're up, if your eyes are open and you're moving, you're tempted. Right? And even so, I've met people who are unable to get up and open their eyes and move around. And they're tempted to despair. They're tempted to anger. They're tempted to all kinds of things. We're going to have temptation. Matthew 6:12, continuing that model prayer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that's the idea. Just deliver me from this temptation. Now, again, God does not tempt us. Right? But don't let me go in that way. If there's something out there to tempt me, don't send me down that road today. Let me have freedom from it. And when it does come, give me the strength to be able to walk away from it. Because that is a big problem with a lot of folks, isn't it? A lot of people say, well, I have a hard time with that. It seems like everything in me wants to do that. Everything in me wants to reach out and have that, and not just have that, but have two or three and build it back into my life, bring it back into my life. And you know what? It really is just a game of how long can I go without doing it. It really is. And how good you are at it. You know what? We talk about the sin of gluttony.
I can't get in trouble at McDonald's if I don't pull into one. Am I right? You can't do it if I don't go into one. At no time, no matter how bad I've ever been, I've never woken up at a McDonald's. And I don't think if I tried to explain that to my wife, she'd buy that story. Well, Matt, what happened? Well, I was coming home from work, and I woke up with a Big Mac in my mouth, and it was all mostly gone. I don't know what happened. You know what happened. You wanted it. You gave into it. Now you're lying about it. Right? If I could avoid temptation, Lord, show me how to avoid the temptation. Tell me how to get out of there. Tell me what to do. Right? Now, food's easy. What about people that struggle with drugs? And what about people that struggle with alcohol? What about people that struggle with impure thoughts and things like that? Again, it is just a game of how long can I stay away from it? All right? And that's really the way you got to think about it. Me and this sin, me and this temptation, we're playing hide and go seek, and I'm going to win. That's it. If I can't have certain things on me, right? If I've got to have certain things on the phone, if I've got to have certain things going on with the internet, if I've got to have certain things going on in the home, if I've got to have certain things going on with my bank card. I knew a person who did that to stop them from buying alcohol. They gave their card to their spouse. They gave their card to their best friend, and they at no time had cash on them while they were getting the stuff out of their system. And I tell you what, that's a good plan. It's a game of cat and mouse. It's a game of hide and go seek. I hide from my temptation. I'm getting away from it. Well, doesn't that make you sad? And doesn't that make you irritable? You know what it does? It does make me sad and irritable to get rid of my sin for a certain period of time. It does. Right? Again, the only thing I really have as a point of reference but is my weight. But at the same time, if we look at somebody with alcohol, you know what? There is going to be that withdrawal time where every part of your body hurts. There's that time where you get rid of the drugs and every part of your body hurts and your brain is screaming. Yes, there's going to be a time of some badness, but it clears up later. And you got to torpedo your way through that. And if you've got to have a friend chain you to a radiator, if you've got to go out to the middle of the woods and shoot the car, and whatever you've got to do to get that temptation out of your life, you get that temptation out of your life. Too many people are afraid of handing over certain things, right? Well, I ought to be able to have my phone at all times and look at whatever I want. Well, then you're going to give yourself into temptation. I ought to be able to do this with my money and buy this and have a sip of this and smoke on this and do that. No, you're giving yourself into that temptation. Again, what is it? I resist the devil and he flees. Resist requires some kind of effort, right? Resist requires some kind of a fight. We need to have that fight against our sin. So pray, because you might run into some temptation today. You probably will, right? What else are you going to run into today? You need to pray today, or you should have prayed today, because you might find some trouble today. 1 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. You're going to have trouble. Now, that's a long verse, and I kind of rambled through it. Forgive me. Go ahead and take a look at that in your own time. Right? You're going to have trouble, but it doesn't have to beat you. Isn't that what we talked about this morning? Everything beats you. Everything tears you up. Everything. You're a victim to everything. You're not. Through salvation, we have victory. And even through this passage of Scripture where it talks about how, persecution can come, but it doesn't completely ruin me. And I can be have bad things happen, but I never despair. That's that kind of wonderful grace that God gives us through trouble, where despite the pain, despite the backaches, despite the bad memories and the sorrow, we still have joy for whatever reason. I've met people living through all kinds of illness that still maintained their joy. Now it hurts. It affected their mood. It made them sad. It made them upset. At times it irritated them to the point of madness. But all the same, they never lost their joy. Why?
because Jesus Christ lives within me. And I don't fight this fight alone. And there is always that hope. And you think to sit there and think of how many Christians have sat there and said, listen, whether the Lord heals my body now or he heals me by taking me home, either way, it won't be much longer. You understand how powerful that is. That either God's going to deliver me from this or the worst thing that could happen is I go home to my Father. And you could look at that and many people would say, well, that's madness. Well, that's only from the perspective of if I die, that's it. It would be madness if I firmly believed that when I close my eyes, that's the end of the story. Of course I would fear the end. Of course I'd be terrified of a particular style of life or a particular ability and mobility in life. But I tell you what, we don't have that fear. We know that when we open our eyes in death, we'll see Jesus Christ. We'll be able to see the Father. And number seven, and to me the first should be the first, but I like to save it at the end because I think it's better. The number one reason why you ought to have prayed today is because you love God. You know what today is? Today is my mom and my dad's anniversary. I got the kids around the computer. We called them on the video. Right? And mom's sitting there. Mom's got a cold today. Pray for her. She was out of church this morning. She wasn't feeling good. She got that video on and she got dad in the room. And we sat there. We got to talk to him. You know why we did that? Because I love mom and dad and I want to wish them happy anniversary. Right? And they love seeing the kids and I love seeing them. Right? Phone calls because we love the people we're talking to. Think of the last, not that people do this most often anymore, it's almost like a bygone era to talk on the telephone, but the last person you talked on the telephone to, you probably talked to because you wanted to, unless it was like a telemarketer or someone trying to sell you. In my case, it's always somebody trying to, they're either trying to sell me insurance or they're trying to give the church a business loan. Right? I'm always almost on the phone for one of those two things. But all the same, right, if you're talking to somebody, you pick up the phone and you dial it, it's because you love that person. You want to talk to them for the most part, isn't it? And many of us, we've got people in our lives we won't go too long without calling and checking in on and telling them that we love them. So the question is, what are we really saying to God when we rush to our telephones to call our loved ones, but we'll go days between conversations with him? Now, again, that doesn't mean we diminish the relationships we have with people here on earth, but it means that we should prioritize our relationships with God. Many a person has been ruined because their dad did not spend enough time with them, right? That's a lot of people say. But do you spend enough time with your Heavenly Father? Do you put that effort in? Again, I've also met a lot of parents. They come to the point where they say, gee, I wish the kids would call. But their prayer lives are horrible, right? Don't you know that's the same ache God feels, longing for you to check in, longing for you to acknowledge your love for him and your joy and how much you want to be with him? 1 John 4, verse 10. 1 John 4, 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now pay attention to verse 13 here. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. I want to look at that phrase right there. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us. If I were to take a look at your phone records, I no doubt could tell you who you talk to the most and who you care about the most, right? Detectives do that all the time. Let me see your phone records. Look at that. Okay, you're talking to the victim a lot. Okay, that's what they would do. If I were to look at the conversation, the minutes of time that elapsed between your prayers, what would that tell me about how much you and him are together? Is there enough evidence to convict you of having a relationship with God? And we see that it's not just that we dwell in each other. We he and me and I and him. Am I really dwelling in God if I barely speak to him? If I barely take that time? Now, again, it's not always about the quantity of time. I've heard people boast, well, I prayed for 5 hours today. Well, what'd you talk about? And they can only list two or three things they talked about. It must have been a long conversation if you went for that long. It's not about the quantity, though there should be quantity, but more importantly is the quality, right? You know who you'll probably find the least in my phone? My wife. You want to know why? Because we spend a lot of time together. Most of the time, if I want to say something, I just kind of lean over and say, hey, honey. And that's how those conversations go. And why? Because we dwell together, right? She knows where I am at night. She knows where I am in the morning. We know where each other are because you just turn around and there they are somewhere in the running around of our kids. There's the other one. That's dwelling together. Can you, have you the habit of being able to, within a moment's notice, drop and pray to God? How long has it been since you've had that relationship? We're at a second's notice. All right, here's what's going on. I've got a few minutes here. Let's go ahead and check in with the Lord. Lord, thank you very much for the way that meeting went. Thank you very much for the great morning that I've had so far. Lord, I just pray that you be with me. I want to give my actions. I want to give my heart to you this afternoon. Lord, just want to make sure I do everything right by you. Please forgive me for any sin that I've committed. Or if you know one specifically, throw that bad boy in there and just have that conversation. Just boom, there it is. Now, again, I'm a big fan. I've talked about this on multiple occasions. I'm a big fan of stopping and having specific times. But man, it is a real test of the relationship of how easily we pass into that conversation. It is. It needs to be such an easy thing. Why? Because it's a command. Why? Because it's doctrine. Why? Because I'm not a good Christian if I don't know. Because I love talking to God. And remember, that conversation goes both ways. Every time you pray, you should have an equal amount of this going on. There should be some reading. You know, I've come across things that I didn't know were going to be a problem until about 2 days later. Right? The Lord will just kind of spring something out at me, and I'll look at it, and I'll study at it, and I'll play with it a little bit. Huh, it's a good thought. I've never had that thought. I might even write half a sermon on it that never gets preached. I'll put that over there. 2 days later, something comes up, and I go, "Ooh. Well, I got that package early." And I'll go back and I'll look at the notes and be like, okay, yeah, all right, yep, I learned something today. Those are important times. Him talking to you through the reading of the scripture. You talking to him through your heart. And again, prayer looks many different ways. I've known people, they say, hey, listen, I'll pray to God for a quick 5 minutes right there in the car before I walk into work. I know people who sit there and say, I'll talk out loud to God while I'm driving in the car. Just make sure you keep your eyes open. That's important. If you do that while you're driving. I met some people that say, I shut all the doors and I make sure that there's no sound and I find a perfect time. I'll wake up at 5 in the morning. I'll wake up at 1 in the morning, go back to bed just to have some quiet time alone with the Lord. You take that time. Why? Because it should be valuable to you. Now, if you've got a way to pray without having to completely tear apart your day, go for it. But again, you put priority on it. Because why would I not? Again, if you folks found out that I had gone days without speaking to my wife, what would you think? Not that I would ever want to accuse anybody of running the gossip mill, but what would be the thought? Oh, there's a problem. There's some issues there. And you sit there and say, wow, well, if he's not talking to her, I wonder what his problem is. And I tell you what, is he messing around? Is he angry? Is he having problems with bitterness? Are they going to have a divorce? Is it the kids? What will happen to the kids? And all poor those poor boys and that poor little girl. And you go on and on and on. But for us to let our prayer lives go like that, we don't bat an eye, do we? Oh, we should have continuous and constant prayer between us and the Father. Again, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us. Again, we're talking about living a life under the acknowledgement that I'm never separated from God. Right? When you sin, God's there. When you need Him, God's there. Psalm 139, by far one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Doesn't matter where you go. Not only does He see you, not only does He see what's going on around you, but He knows your heart through and through. Will you acknowledge that and have that relationship with Him? Lord, I love you. I love that you're there for that. I love that you're the one person that under no circumstances would ever get the wrong idea about me. You would always know exactly what I am and always have exactly what I need. That whether I'm studying or whether I'm listening to a sermon, Father, I know that you're hearing me. I know that you're acknowledging me. And I know that what you have for me is good because you know me like that. And that is what a life of constant prayer does for you. It keeps you aware of that. Keeps you aware of your actions, what God expects, and what He can do. We ought to have good prayer lives. And I'll tell you what, those are the 7 reasons. Tomorrow morning at 10:30, you better have prayed already. Well, brother, my time, my this, my that. No. Nothing can happen until you first checked in. Now, I'll tell you this. There was 2 guys that worked for me. One of them did not like to check in with me. You want to know why he didn't like to check in with me? He was afraid he messed up, or he was afraid I was going to tell him what to do. So he never checked in with me in the morning. So you know what I did? I started watching when he would clock in. I started looking for mistakes that he was making, because why would you hide from me unless there's a problem? And I tell you what, he was a good employee. He showed up on time, did what he was supposed to do, but he never actually checked in with me, never actually came in to say hi. I had this other guy who would check in with me every morning. Hey, boss, how's it going? And you know what? He wasn't all that good of an employee, but he was willing to learn, and he listened to what I had to say, and I partnered him up with people who knew what they were doing, and he listened to what they had to say, and his heart was malleable, and he was willing to learn, and he grew in his skills, and he grew in his ability, and after a while, people were coming to him for advice, and he did really, really well, and we could mark the differences in his ability, and we could mark how well he was progressing, and we could reward him accordingly. One guy comes up to me, he goes, you know, it's been a couple years since I've had a raise. I go, well, it's been a couple years since you've come in to check in with your boss, I'm imagining. Listen, man, you got to check in with me for me to know what you're about, right? If I call you and I say, do this, 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 and that, you always do it, but you never come into me. And then that same guy who was always on top of it would come in at the end of the day, and he would come to me and say, hey, boss, listen, I did this, and I did this, and did this, and hey, I want to tell you, I messed this thing up bad. And it took me an additional like 45 minutes to fix it and do it right. And you know what I did? Oh, thanks for letting me know. How'd you fix it? Good. Now, did you mess it up because you didn't know what you were doing, or did you mess it up because you went too fast? It was just a mistake. He goes, man, I wasn't thinking. Okay, perfect. Next time thinking. And we move on from that. The relationship was much sweeter between the coworker who didn't know half as much as the guy who wouldn't check in. Why? It wasn't that he relied on me. It wasn't that he told me wonderful things about his day. It wasn't that he told me wonderful things. It wasn't that he even submitted to my authority as his boss. It showed a willingness. It showed that he was willing to build a relationship. He was willing to grow. He was willing to be better. If God looked at your relationship, and he does, by the way, by how often you check in with him. And part of who you are is defined by your willingness for God to tell you what to do and to affect your heart on what you're doing wrong. And if he's looking at that and he's measuring that up, how would you fare? You should have prayed today. Tomorrow, you should pray that we would have conversations on a regular basis. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that you help us.